At Tom Dart on social media, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. Nice to have you back on. And I've turned Pat Brady's microphone on here so he can jump in as well. And Andrea's here.
Yeah.
Let me just give you
all the heavy hitters there with Pat,
yeah.
Andrea, and Rick Pearson coming.
That's exactly right. We have a swinging light bulb over your head, too. We got you in the back. We're going to tune you up.
I'm worried about with this lineup.
Let me just throw a couple of things at you, starting with when are you announcing your run for mayor and will you do it on the show?
Yeah. You know, I am it's funny, Steve. I find myself questioning myself at times, but I really, really still enjoy my job. I really do. And it works for my family. So I told people I'd look at the mayor's race as something down the road that I won't dismiss as outright and just say I won't look at it. But as far as what I'm going to do with my future, I really, in the most sincere way, I have such a full agenda right now going to the sheriff's office. I can't emphasize enough to keep running for mayor. Couldn't be further from my mind. I just got my hands full and really liking it, too, which just defies reason and logic at times.
Well, and it is 3 years away, so it's not like you have to do it today. But just call us when you're ready.
You'll be the first to know.
There are several things on your agenda, specifically in the job as Cook County Sheriff, that are all relevant and all important. What's a rocket ducket?
You know, that was something that we came up with when I was trying to think of ways that I could help expedite people who are sitting in jail that we clearly don't need to have sitting in jail. And Steve, it's one of those things, the more I invest in my thinking, what little time I have in my life to thinking about the whole criminal justice system, you really find out that if we're really going to solve the problems of, like, the violence on the street and all the shootings and the rest of it, we clearly have to make sure that what resources we have in the criminal justice system are being used for those violent people, and not just through neglect, we're just sweeping up hapless people, mentally ill people, you name it, and keeping them, because they eat up money, and frankly, they usually eat up more money than a person who's in there on a violent crime. So for us, like Rocket Doc, it says that if you're in on these inconsequential crimes like retail theft, possession of small amounts of drugs, suspended driver's license, that you're not going to sit in a jail for more than 30 days unless you have some violence in your background. And you'd be stunned how many people fit in that category. And they say the big picture here, Steve, is if you do that, we now have more resources to deal with this violence on the street. But people, I found, just don't look at it that way. It is, you know, it's the system, what can you do type of thing. But there's a finite amount of money out there, and if we're wasting it on people that shouldn't be in the criminal justice system because they're mentally ill and the criminal justice system wasn't meant for them in the first place, or for people on inconsequential crimes, we won't have any money left to deal with the violence. So the Rocket Doc and a couple of other things we're doing is just focus at making sure we have the right people in the jail and the other folks getting them out of there as quick as we can.
Hey, Tom's Pat, and we've been friends now for 30 years, and I say this unapologetically, you're one of the finest public servants I've ever seen. And,
you were Pat, or you're Tom, I mean.
Tom is. And,
okay.
And that endorsement, and I can at least bring one of my two friends with it. That should carry the day in the mayor's race if you get in. But, hey, talk about the Safer Foundation. We went to that dinner the other night where they, and particularly the guy that had been in jail 50 times and now is a PhD.
Yeah, you know, Pat, that was amazing that night. Honestly, those folks are incredible. They have done this for years now, and I'd say with probably little fanfare, at least not what they deserve. Here is people who get it. And when I say get it, it's not honestly, Steve, Pat, it's not like, you know, I've cornered the market and everything that works in the criminal justice system, you know, probably quite the contrary. But let's use common sense. 85% of the people that come into Cook County Jail are not going to prison. They're going right back to the street, right back to the communities. And if we aren't giving them some type of, you know, hope out there, you know, with some job skills or something like that, what do you think is going to happen? They're probably going to be coming right back in. The numbers all say that. The Safer Foundation has been focusing their entire efforts forever on giving people job skills when they leave. And I'd say, you know, that's compassionate, that's thoughtful. I really feel that way. But fiscally speaking, it is the smartest thing in the world. And as Pat mentioned, this one guy, my God, the guy just went out and got his PhD after spending time in and out of jail, prison, whatever it was, for, you know, nonviolent related offenses. But I think the public is finally coming to the understanding that you know, most of these people who have been swept into the criminal justice system are not there because of violence. They're there because of drugs, because of minor crimes. And whether you want to care about them or not, that's not the point. The point is that just constantly bringing them back in the criminal justice system is so expensive. We're running out of money. And so people like the Safer Foundation, Pat, put these really cool programs together, linking people with jobs, real jobs, not like theoretical ones, real jobs. They're sustained. They stay with these people. So there are solutions out there so that, once again, we can connect people with jobs that will create a livelihood for them where they're not involved in criminal justice. And then we can just focus on these violent people who, you know, Steve, we could spend the rest of the day trying to figure out how these people got so violent and why it is that way. But the bottom line is they need to be kept away from the rest of the population. And we can't do that if we're wasting all of our money on people that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, by the way, it's saferfoundation.org if you can support it, which is great. Several more things to hit you with. Give me 30 seconds to get a traffic update at 7:18. Here's Mary.
Inbound Eisenhower in hour 15 from 53, hour 5 from Mannheim up to 55 outbound as well to 53. Inbound Stevenson hour 15 from the Tri-States and Big Sunshine delays this morning. Inbound Ryan's up to 25 from 95th. The Kennedy 46 in from O'Hare 55 outbound, 26 on the Edens in both directions. Northbound 355, watch for an accident on the exit to 88. It's jammed up now from 127th to about 63rd. Lakeshore Drive busy into Belbo. Mary Vandeval, WGN Traffic Central.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, at Tom Dart on social media. One of the things we were just talking about relates directly to legislation on expungement of records. And we actually charge people to get their record expunged, which I feel is an exorbitant fee. You know, it's more than a paperwork fee. But there's a third and fourth and fifth and sixth steps that everybody has to go through. Are these fair steps, or do we need legislation to clean this process up?
Oh, but see, we need to clean this up. As Pat could, you know, say, we, you know, Pat and I, you know, can try triple homicide cases. Pat can try outrageously complicated financial crime cases. But good luck trying to figure out the expungement world. I mean, you literally have to be a specialist in it because it's so nuanced. Forget about it if you're trying to do it yourself. And what, once again, what are we accomplishing here, you know, by trying to make it so difficult for someone to clean up a nonviolent record of something you did 10, 15 years ago? And so we have some bills in Springfield that don't begin, Steve, to get at it completely. We're just trying to nibble around the edges here. But just nibbling around the edges, I'm getting the most absurd pushback from people. And one of them, we're trying to do two things. One, saying that if you committed a offense 20 years ago, whatever it is, say you can't expunge it, but you do something, you know, 2 years ago, like, you know, a retail theft, and it got thrown out, that the fact you had a previous conviction doesn't mean you can't get the other ones off your record.
Right
now it says if you have any conviction ever, you can't get anything off your record, which is just dumb. And then the other one says, if, heaven forbid, if you're innocent or your case was dropped, we aren't going to charge you to have your record cleaned up here for that offense. And I found that one the most outrageous because I'm getting pushback from the state police on it saying that that's money and they can't afford to have the revenue loss. And I keep saying to them, folks, you're not listening to me. These are people that were found not guilty. They're innocent. We can't charge them $120 to clean up a record for something they didn't do. And as Pat and I know, there's a myriad of reasons why people have cases dropped and things like that. I get it. But at the end of the day, the majority of these people were found not to be culpable for what they were charged with. And we're going to charge them $120. And then we're going to act surprised when they can't get a job because someone looked at the record and saw an arrest on there that got thrown out. And it's like, guys, what are we doing here?
Well, it's essentially it's legislated blackmail. It's like, okay, you're innocent. Okay, give me $120 and I'll give you a paperwork that says you're innocent.
Steve, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. This isn't even into that discussion philosophically where you and I can sit there and say, well, a property crime should be expunged or not expunged. This is saying, no, just you didn't do it.
Right.
It's black. You're 100% right, Steve.
Sheriff, I wanted to ask you, too, about Baroque, the scandal. Obviously, it was 7 years ago, but this week there was a little bit of closure. I know you were a pallbearer at the reinternment, basically the funeral for, what, some 2,000 bones that had been stored as evidence for the trials. Is that, in fact, closure to the scandal, or is that case still open?
You know, it's closure, and unfortunately, the only way we can do it, the best way. I swear to you, when I first came out there, we knew it was bad, but we had no idea the enormity of it. I mean, we found hundreds of graves that had been desecrated, and we frankly assumed it's easy to. We know it was much more, but so we knew of at least 200. But when I first got out there, I didn't realize how big it was. And I was thinking, okay, well, we'll find remains in different locations, and then we'll match them. We'll allow family members to give DNA, and then we'll match them and things like that. No, the way that these folks did this thing, these criminals, is they scattered the remains everywhere. They smashed them. They then destroyed record after record where we couldn't even tell where people were originally supposed to be buried. So even if we had a grave that clearly had been tampered with, we didn't know who was supposed to be in there because all the records were gone. So for us, it was sort of a hollow closure because there was no family we were able to say, because of our work, we now have the remains back where they were supposed to be. All we could say is that we now have a peaceful place where all of the remains that we recovered are at one location. If you have any concerns, there, it's a peaceful place with a beautiful marker. You can go out there and pray there. And other than that, we weren't able to help people like you really wish to, especially in the day and age we're now with DNA and NCIS. You think this would be easy, but if you'd seen what I saw out there, you'd understand there was no way to connect anything to anything.
I appreciate your time. At Tom Dart. And by the way, there's a rape kit legislation good news as well, because that piece that you pushed forward before is going to prevent the same sort of nightmare scenario where a bunch of rape kits weren't processed and robins won't be happening again. So listen, this job that you love, obviously you need some sort of checkup. This job that you love has no endless to-do list, but we appreciate your time and thanks for coming on.
Steve, thank you so much for having me on. Pat, you too, Andrea. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Enjoy the day. At Tom Dart.
I thought he was going to announce.
Well, he will. He'll call back. I got a note from a listener last night, and a 31-year police veteran who is not a Tom Dart fan. And, you know, a good, hardworking cop. And I know guys like Tom Dart who come from the non-walk-a-beat world deal with pushback from the rank-and-file guys all the time. I would never presume to understand both sides of the argument. All I would say in defense of the sheriff is he's fighting political battles that have nothing to do with how you handle yourself on the street. And I think you both, you know, try to understand each other as much as you can, and you're going to get along better. And I'm not knocking the guy that sent me the note. He's entitled to his opinion, obviously. It's just what I know of Tom Dart. He's doing the best he can in a very difficult situation.
Just an observation. Again, just an observation. I think Tom Dart has made more movement in that office, in that position, than a lot of people in other similar positions, let's just say.
And to go back to the beginning of his discussion about the other things we were talking about, isn't it amazing how much people fight common sense?